gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Upwreck MMA Podcast, where we bring you news and other crap. It's not really crap. It's just, I'm not overly enthused today. It's a painful day for me. So, how are you doing, Ferrari?
I'm getting a massage right now.
I see that. Well, okay, as Ferrari's getting a massage, and we will talk about the fights, and she will concentrate the best she can while she gets massaged. Okay, so UFC 277 was this weekend. You actually had the chance to see all the fights. Well, almost all the fights. What do you think, overall?
Most of them. Yeah, it was a good card. I was interested in most of these fights, you know, especially the main event, which I know we're going to talk about. Yeah, I mean, overall, I thought it was a good card. Some things that, well, I mean, really the only thing, it wasn't too surprising, but Derek Lewis got knocked out.
it wasn't
too surprising.
Well, to be fair, and we'll get to that, but that was actually, and I mentioned to you actually before this fight, man, maybe we shouldn't have picked, because we both picked Derek Lewis. I'm like,
I know.
Maybe we shouldn't pick Derek Lewis, because Derek Lewis has lost the last two times, well, now it's the last three times, that he's fought in his home state. So it's one of those things where it's just he just can't get a win at home. You know, overall, though, it was a good fight. I'm really not going to I'm only going to mention one prelim fight, which is Drew Dober versus Rafael Alves. It was a third round knockout. I'm mentioning that because that was one of the performance of the night bonuses. But then we'll stick to the main card. Not that the prelims were bad. The prelims were really good. But a lot of casual fans may not recognize many of the names on the prelims. And you guys know me, I don't go over every single fight. Alex Moreno defeated Matthew Sommelsberger. I actually picked Sommelsberger, but that actually was a really, I thought it was a good fight. I thought Sommelsberger actually stood a decent chance. And that was evidenced by the scoring, 29-28, 29-28, and then somebody was smoking weed because it was 30-27. Again, judging is judging. You know, the next card on the main card, Ankalaev. Thank you.
I had picked him, but I still, you know, I like Anthony Smith.
I picked Anthony Smith because I liked him too, but the injury bug on the main card is bitten everybody for the past three shows, he broke his ankle. And in the second round, they count as a TKO with punches because he still, even with the broken ankle, he still went in there. He tried to actually take him down, which is not a good thing to do with Ankalaev because he's a much better grappler on the ground.
Right.
But Smith was trying to stay in there. So I find it, and Bisping mentioned this, Ankalaev and ankle.
Leave it to Mike.
Yeah.
Good for you, Mike.
Pantoja defeated Perez with a first round submission. It was actually very quick.
Yeah.
And for that,
That was the one that I had walked out of the room and you was like, it's over?
Yes. Yeah, that was the one you walked out. And I was looking forward to that because, again, I don't know if you picked him. I know the other gentleman in our pool did not pick Pantoja.
We use that word loosely.
But he did not pick Pantoja. I was very dead.
You know, I think you and I picked the same, except for you picked Anthony Smith and I picked Ankalaev.
I think so too. Yeah, because when I looked at it, I kind of got worried that with points wise, I wasn't going to win, but. Well, because we weigh the points. It's, again, it's a private pool where I would invite listeners, but if people want to join another pool, I will let you know which one to join. Just ask publicly on the Facebook page.
Yes.
But Pantoja got a performance of the night, and it was well-deserved. I will definitely say that.
Yes.
Pavlovich defeated Lewis with first round knockout.
Yeah.
You know, here's one of the reasons why Pavlovich actually didn't get as much credit going into this. It wasn't because he was going against Derek Lewis. When you look at Russian fighters, you see these huge numbers of wins, losses, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And it's been rumored in the past that those coming from the Russian area sometimes inflate their record if they've been around for quite a while.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they come over to America. You can't really inflate your record like that. And I wonder if that played a role. But regardless, Pavlovich definitely showed that he has the power, you know, to, again, you know, Derek Lewis is one of those that, you know, he's been around for ages. I have to think, though, that after this, he's going to start considering whether it's time to hang him up. I'll admit I'm biased. This next fight was my favorite fight on the card. And it did win fight of the night.
Yeah, I was like, it apparently was the favorite fight of the card. I know this is the one that I thought about picking Kai Kara France, but then I was like, no, like Brandon Moreno's gonna win.
No,
it was a good fight.
It was a good fight, but again, both men have gotten much better from when they faced each other the first time. I think it was like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Brandon Moreno defeated Kai Kara France with a third round TKO, which was a kick and then punches.
Mm-hmm.
But again, they both looked really good. And I'm glad Brandon Moreno won the title again. I'm a really big fan of Brandon Moreno. Not that there's anything, you know, not anything against Kai Kara France.
Right.
But I am a big Brandon Moreno fan. I think he's good for the company.
So I want to ask you, what do you think about Figueiredo coming into the octagon?
Okay, no, that's a good question because Dana White mentioned that it actually, because Dana White okayed it.
Yeah, because he at first was like, that's kind of disrespectful because it's Moreno's moment. But it kind of worked out because they've had this feud, you know, and it's the interim championship. But I mean, it was a moment, but I think it was it turned into a good moment.
Yeah,
because Figueiredo came in really cocky.
Yeah,
and Moreno was very humble. And they met in the middle then, you know?
I agree. Dana White thought it was disrespectful, but then he said, you know, he was kind of mixed, you know, after it happened.
That's kind of how, in the moment, I was like, don't let him in there, like, you know? But then I was like, you know what? It actually... They met in the middle, like, respect-wise, you know, and they've always said that they do respect each other, but I think having them face-to-face like that,
well,
when there's, technically, yes, there's going to be a fight, but they just don't have it scheduled, you know what I mean? Like,
well, let me ask you this, though. Was it any more disrespectful than letting, because this fight, you know, can be signed.
Yes.
Okay. Was it any more disrespectful than letting Brock Lesnar in the octagon when Cormier won the title?
No. That was a joke.
Because that was a fight that they didn't even know if they could sign.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
At least this, they know that they could sign a fight. So even if things went to all hell and a shoving match ensued, it would just lead people to want to buy that even more. Not saying that I wanted to happen. To be honest, I was actually happy to see them kind of bury the hatchet, so to speak, where they could actually get along, because Figueiredo was talking a lot of crap about Moreno for quite a while the past year.
Mm-hmm.
So it was nice to see them kind of put that behind them. And Moreno agreed to fight for the title because Figueiredo is the actual champion. He's just out on injury. And they're going to fight to unify the interim and actual title.
Right.
And Moreno said he would be happy to fight him in Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's one of those things where you know, they mentioned that they've fought each other in Mexico, and I have to double check. I don't think they have fought each other in Mexico. But regardless, this is a fight, though, that can go on and on and on. They've already had three fights.
Right.
You know? I can see where the disrespectful part comes in, because at first, I was... But, on the other hand, Moreno was looking for him. Moreno mm-hmm. called out, asked where he was.
Yeah.
So, is it really disrespectful? I mean, on the same token, it sounded like Moreno was inviting him into the octagon anyway.
Right.
You know, so
he was like talking about him, so it's, you know, he did really point him out, like he wanted him there, so.
Yeah, and they I'm interested now more than I would be if they would have gotten into a shoving match or something.
Yeah,
they would
none have brought of their him in. Fights took place in Mexico.
And that's what I thought. Figueredo kept on insisting that one of the fights took place in Mexico.
They all took place in heavily Mexican populated areas of the U.S., I guess.
Well,
you know, because they were like Arizona, California, you know.
Okay, but think about that. When we used to wrestle and we would wrestle up in Canada, it still wasn't the same as wrestling in New York.
Right.
You know? Even though there was fans that would come over and we still had a big fan base in Canada, it still mm-hmm. wasn't the same as wrestling back in Buffalo. So, mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that fight. I think if it would have broken out into like a shoving match, I to me it would have just seemed like, okay, this is a work. You know. The way they did it I thought was very classy. Overall. So as a matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, I think Figueredo even picked up Moreno on his shoulders or something like that. I might be wrong.
I don't think so. I think they just like high-fived or not high-fived, but like, you know, like hugged or something. I can't remember. You know, it wasn't, you
but
know.
But there seems to be...
It was nice, yeah.
Yeah, there seems to be no bad blood. Now, of course, come press conference time when they fight, that might change. But for now, and then the main event, which I thought was a good fight. I don't think it was Nunes's greatest fight.
Right. And if she was doing what she said she was doing, which is she was trying to make it five rounds.
Yeah.
I understand, but...
You don't get paid for the time you're out
there.
Yeah,
you don't get paid by the hour. Like, you know, you know? It's, you know, you expend more energy and there is always the possibility that, you know, you could be finished. But, I mean, it was a good fight. I mean, I think she definitely proved that the previous fight was a fluke.
Yeah, it was very dominant.
You know, there were a couple times that Peña caught her in some arm bars and things like that. And, you know, tagged her a few times, but...
But, okay, point out what we noticed, though.
She was really relaxed, Amanda Nunes.
Yeah.
And any time that it looked like Peña, you know, had her by the arm or whatever, she just relaxed and like, no, I'll be taking that back. Thank you very much. You
yeah. know? She relaxed herself when she got caught in a position where it looked like she might, where Peña had a true opportunity mm-hmm. to submit Nunes. And I mean, that shows that Nunes changed. She also, if I'm not mistaken, she kept on switching from, you know, stance to southpaw.
Well, she said she had trained southpaw on purpose.
Yeah.
To change it up and to confuse Peña. And we noticed this during the fight that she would change back to her old stance and then go, no, I'm going to stick with southpaw. You know, like, you could see her, like, nope, switch, I like this better. Like, almost like it's more comfortable to her now because yeah. she's trained in it, you know?
Which is, that alone will give other fighters fits. Now, they are talking about putting Nunes against Valentina Shevchenko, which I would like to see again because both fighters have gotten better.
Mm-hmm.
Peña.
Well, and it's a different fight now because at least Nunes is a different fighter.
Yes.
You know? And that's, I mean, it really is a testament to how good of a fighter she is that she can change her stance in the middle of her career.
Well, and to go one further, Shevchenko even tweeted out that Nunes now has adopted her style of fighting.
Right.
And which I don't, I, you know, again, I think it was just kind of meant like a funny thing, but
yeah,
but still though, she's not all that wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And to show you how dominant the fight was, one judge judged it 50-45. I personally judge it, and the second judge judged it this way too, 50-44. So that means that Pena got an 8-point round.
Mm-hmm.
And the last judge scored it 50-43, which means there was 2 8-point rounds. You know, so what that means is Nunes was extremely dominant in 1 to 2 of those rounds where Pena could only get 8 points.
Right.
You know, and Nunes had 10. I mean, honestly, she was very dominant through all of them. But again, it's one of those things where it's funny, and I'm going to mention this because there was a couple fighters, mainly Belal Muhammad, mm-hmm. that made the comment about wanting a trilogy and saying how Nunes is full of herself and everything like that. Now, I think this is really important because nobody else has said this, and it really, really aggravated me. And Ferrari can see how hard I'm trying not to swear right now.
Yes.
Belal Muhammad is on Pena's team. Of course he's going to sit there and stand up for her.
Right. Yeah, you know? He's not going to be like, oh yeah, she got her butt kicked. Like, no, he's going to defend her because he doesn't want to... First of all, you don't want to go to the gym or whatever and her be like, what the hell, you know? And you don't want to cause any friction with anybody else on the team, you know? So you're going to defend her. And, I mean, he might actually really believe it, too. Because seeing, you know, if you don't believe that first fight was a fluke, you know... But still, I think even if you're like, oh, well, she got beat in the first fight, well, she went, trained really hard, changed her stance, and came back a better fighter.
Well.
So, you think Pena's gonna, you know, take 6 months or whatever and change her style, and you think it's gonna be different?
Well, like, and not only that, but he made, and it was a valid comment, that after the first two rounds, Nunes went more for takedowns and stand-up.
Yeah.
Because she was not doing as well in the stand-up as she was doing in the takedown. Well, okay, that's a valid argument. Hey, dummy, don't you think you would do the same thing?
Right, that's smart fighting. You realize that's not working.
As a commentator, I actually would expect him to know as much.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, but he's a hell of a fighter. But, you know, I again, that would be like me saying, you know what? I honestly think that Brandon Moreno knocked out Kai Kara France in the first round, but he let him hang on till the third round.
Right.
Look, don't be stupid. You know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
So, at any rate, to recap the bonuses before I end up going on a really long rant on this. I'm not mad at Belal Muhammad's comments. I'm more aggravated that when he's made those comments, that no news outlet has mentioned that him and Pena are in the same training team. They're on the same team. So... that's like asking two people on a football team, so-and-so scored 4 touchdowns, you know, and last time they faced each other, he didn't score any, you know, It's like asking them, do you think he's gotten better? Well, of course he's gotten better.
I like how you tried to use a football analogy.
And I don't know anything about football, yeah. I know. I should have used hockey where at least I know. But all right, fight of the night, Brandon Moreno, Kai Kara France. Performance of the night, Alexander Pantoja. Another performance of the night, Drew Dober. This weekend, we move on to UFC Vegas 59. Thiago Santos versus Jamahal Hill. That actually should be a really good fight. Mm-hmm. Santos still has not been, in my opinion, has not been the same since both his knees got tore up by John Jones. But hopefully, you know, there was other things that kind of went into that. He got married. I think they had a kid, if I'm not mistaken. Hopefully things got sorted out for him. Jamahal Hill's not going to be a pushover fight by any means.
No.
The main card, Vicente Luque versus Jeff Neal. And then you also have the tough finales. So for the heavyweight finale, you have Zach Payuga versus Muhammad Usman, who is Kamaru Usman's brother.
Yes.
Brogan Walker versus Juliana Miller for the flyweight finale for Tough. Both those should be interesting because, again, it's the beginning of their UFC journey, really.
Right. Well, and if you're somebody who hasn't watched the series, this will be the first time you're seeing them in the octagon.
Yes.
So it's going to be – it's introducing them to the world.
So. And they're me personally, like, I realize how people feel about the Contender Series. I actually prefer the Ultimate Fighter Series over the Contender Series because the trainers have a longer time with these fighters to get to know them, to know if they would be a good fit in the UFC. And so many great fighters have come out of the Tough Series.
You get to learn their personalities and stuff too.
Yep.
You know, even though it is reality TV, so some of it's probably dramatized, you know, and you know, it's a little more heated than it would be in a normal situation sometimes. But with the Contender Series, you're just watching a fight, you know.
Yeah.
Unless you, and you know, I know that sometimes Dana has picked people, you know, because he's gone to, you know,
Dana White looking for a fight.
Yeah.
Not what it's called? Yeah. Dana White looking for a fight.
Yeah. Dana White wants to fight.
Yes, yeah. I get those two confused.
Yeah. Dana White looking for a fight. Yeah. So he's gone to different smaller promotions around the world.
Yeah.
And picked fighters. So he might know some of them, sort of, but you don't get that, like, what? 10 weeks, you know, in a house, you know, with someone, so.
Well, and here's the thing with the Ultimate Fighter is if you don't think that Dana White's watching the stuff that gets on and gets left on the cutting room floor, you're fooling yourself.
Right, yeah.
And again, it is good to see how they react because some of these kids have never gotten any more notoriety than finding the main event at their local bar. You know, mm-hmm. And then some of these kids have lots of a big spotlight put on them for some of them for football, some of them for MMA, you mm-hmm. know. The other fights, Augusto Sakai versus Sergei Spivak. We have Ariane Lipsky versus Priscilla Kochera. The prelims, I'm not even good. I'll tell you two people to watch on the prelims. Sam Elvey is definitely somebody I would watch because here's the thing: Sam Elvey keeps on losing. He might be out of the contract. And Brian Battle that won, that came out of I think it was last year's The Ultimate Fighter. He's actually a good kid to watch. He's a good fighter. So it'll be interesting to see how he does. He's fighting Takashi Sato. Mm-hmm. You know, again, that may change. There are a lot of really good fights coming up to look forward to as I scroll down. We have coming up I didn't even mark this. I think this is UFC 279. If not, sue me. Oh,
these ones here? I think these are 279. Some of these fights we've been talking about the last couple episodes because we knew that they were coming.
Yeah, I'm pretty positive this is 279.
That's probably 279 since it's not marked.
I didn't list either 278 because there's been a number of changes. Yeah,
this should be 279.
You got Nate Diaz in his retirement match, but his last fight on UFC's contract. Taking on Hazmat Chimaev. Plenty of people not giving Nate Diaz any credit at all. Here's the thing. I think that if Nate Diaz needs to finish it within three rounds, if he doesn't finish it within three rounds, Chimaev's going to probably win if it goes the distance.
Mm-hmm.
Irene Aldana versus Mary Chiasson. Johnny Walker versus...
Macy Chiasson.
Is that what I said?
You said Mary.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay.
Got tongue-tied. See, Ferrari fixes me even though she was getting a massage.
Well, that ended like 20 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Producer left.
Johnny Walker versus Ian Cutelaba. And Hakeem Duwadidu versus Juliana Rosa. There are more fights on that card. If you want to check them out, check out UFC.com. But those are the main fights that I'm looking forward to. There's going to probably be more fights added soon. UFC 280 is from Abu Dhabi. That fight, honestly, is just stacked. The main event...
Yeah, I mean, 279 has a good card, but yeah, 280 is stacked, which they usually do for Abu Dhabi anyways.
Yeah, my only complaint, and I understand why they do this. There's more money in Abu Dhabi, so it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But they always put it on the afternoon, and then I'll just order it and watch it at night. I'm not an afternoon person. So when UFC puts cards on at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, tomorrow's a late card, but next weekend, where the main event is Dominic Cruz versus Chito Vera, the prelims start at 4. I'm probably not going to start watching the prelims till like 5 or 6. You know, I'm a night person, so. But you have Oliveira versus Makhachev for the vacant lightweight title.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to see Oliveira win that. I think Oliveira got robbed since the title was just taken away from him.
Right.
The co-main event is Aljamain Sterling versus TJ Dillashaw. I want to see Sterling win. Mostly because TJ Dillashaw just annoys me.
TJ!
Yeah.
Dillashaw! Sorry.
I don't know if you just like him because of that or
I think it might just be that.
but the main card is looking pretty solid, and I know this is going to change. You got Sean Brady versus Bilal Muhammad.
Who we've already talked about.
Peter Yan versus Sean O'Malley. That fight's going to be very interesting to watch. Sean O'Malley hasn't fought anyone at the caliber of Peter Yan at this point yet. So that fight I'm really looking forward to. Dariush versus Gamrot. I'm really looking forward to that as well. Let's see.
There's good women's fights.
Actually, Amanda Lemos versus Marina Rodriguez. Mm-hmm. That's going to be really good. I'm not listing every fight off of this.
And then Caitlin Chikagian versus, what is it, Manon Ferro. Yeah, those are going to be good.
So, I mean, there's a lot of fights on there that are really good. And there are some rumored fights for 281 already. The one that looks to be a sealed deal right now... is Poirier versus Dustin Poirier versus Michael Chandler, which if you remember a few months ago, they were at a fight, and I can't remember which one it was. But only a
couple of weeks ago, actually.
Time flies
for me. Yeah, it was probably like 2 or 3 weeks ago. I remember talking about
They got in like some kind of a skirmish, and nobody's really said what that was about. It'll come out.
I'm sure it was, like, I know we talked about it a little bit, but it sounded like it was just, like, somebody said something and somebody took it the wrong way or, you know, took it for, it really wasn't as, you know.
Here's the thing, and I've said this before, you know, everybody was like, oh, you know, how could this happen? Dustin Poirier, you know, never starts fights with anybody. Guys, I'm sorry, but if you watch his Twitter, I've seen him be a dick to people numerous times. Look, I'm going to call it the way I see it. The guy's been a dick to people numerous times.
I'm not arguing with you.
So, I mean, I'm looking forward to that fight because, to be honest, I kind of hope Michael Chandler hands Poirier's ass. There's Frankie Edgar wants to have his retirement match, his very last match at 281. He would like it to be against Dominic Cruz. Dominic Cruz is fighting Chito Vera next week. Right. So a lot of it depends. I mean, Cruz has went out and said he'd love to do the fight, but he's got to see what the situation is and everything else. And right now, he just, he's concentrating on Chito Vera. After that, then he'll think about the Edgar fight. To be honest, there goes the thunder. Frankie Edgar versus Dominic Cruz, I would love to see that fight because they both respect each other. They're both friends. It should be really good.
I think that would be a good last match.
Any time between 281, which I believe is in November, or 282, which is in December, you very likely may see Jones versus Ngannou signed. This is strictly just rumors. None of this is confirmed, and none of this might have any weight whatsoever. It's hard to tell because Dana White doesn't tell anybody anything, unless he has to. But that being said, there's a lot of people that supposedly are in the know, quote unquote, and they're saying that Jones and Ngannou might take place at 281 or 282. So, if that's not the main event at 281, the main event probably is going to be Masvidal versus Gilbert Burns. It is from Madison Square Garden. Typically, in Madison Square Garden, they want to put on a stack show. Yes. Because it is Madison Square Garden. It wouldn't surprise me to see Jones and Ngannou headline and co-main event be Masvidal versus Gilbert Burns. Waiting to see.
That would round out. You could put anything on. Obviously, I would think Poirier and Chandler would be on that main event, that main card too. That's a pretty well-rounded, main card.
Well, and the rumor is, possibly November or December, Nunes would end up fighting Shevchenko. That's Nunes said she'd like to get it done by them. But again, nothing's been signed. Even Poirier versus Chandler, I don't know if that's actually been a seal. It looks to be a sealed deal, but I don't know. UFC, I don't believe, has announced it as a sealed deal yet. So, Aspinall did have surgery this week for a torn meniscus, torn MCL, and damaged ACL.
He was messed up.
He's going to be out for quite a while. But he seems to be in good spirits, and that's good. It was such a fluke injury, and you hate to see that with anybody. Yeah. But again, when they didn't know a couple days later because they couldn't get a good MRI because of swelling, we knew it was ligament tear. Just because that's how they usually progress. And finally, Conor McGregor's pub was robbed by two guys this week. Not much information.
Did they just steal all the proper 12?
They haven't even said how much money they got away with. I have no idea. I realize it's in Ireland, so getting information might be difficult, but we get the Tri-Channel all the time. So they're from Ireland. We get the latest news from them. Well, actually, it's not really news. It's them trying cool stuff. Else?
I don't know. We might want to cut this off because I think we're going to lose power and internet because Thor's pretty angry up there.
Yeah.
It's,
So, guys, we're going to say goodbye. So far, Thor's hammer hasn't come through the window, so we're hoping. But we will be back next week. Please enjoy the fights this weekend, and always please be safe, and we will see you Well, we won't really see you.
But we'll talk to you.
But we'll talk to you next Thursday. And go to our page and leave some feedback. Tell me I suck, whatever. I don't know. Talk to you guys in a bit.